This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guest on Bent Notes is a Melbourne-based composer and arranger who graduated and won the prestigious Bob Wiley Scholarship for the Most Outstanding Graduating Student, an award that's also been won by other graduating students who include Linda May O, who's now overseas performing, I think it's in New York, Matt Jodrell and Ben Vanderwall, who I think they're both back here in Melbourne at the moment. It's my pleasure to bid a very warm Bent Notes welcome to Vanessa Perica. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you so much, David.
Composer, arranger and conductor. There must be an instrument there in the mix somewhere.
Yeah.
What is it? Well, or are there more?
Oh, no. Well, I originally started as a classical piano student for many years, as many of us did, and then picked up the trumpet of all instruments.
Really?
Which was good fun. And entered Whopper as a trumpet major, actually. And then from there stumbled into the composition and arranging world, which I fell in love with. So it's all a bit by accident, but I'm very happy I did.
Was it a stumble into the composition world with a jazz focus?
Or absolutely, classical? Yeah. So I entered the jazz degree. So it was all very jazz.
So you went in with trumpet, mm-hmm. and then you came out with conducting, composing and arranging.
Yeah, to be fair, it's more a composing slash arranging degree, and then you have to study some units in conducting so you can actually perform your works. Who would have not thought?
Well, no, there's a thought, I suppose. Yeah. All very well composing and arranging, but if you've got to actually get them performed, you've got to do something.
I know, it's a bit terrifying at times, but I muddle through.
What was the draw? What was the draw to move from trumpet into this composing and arranging side?
I have to say Graham Lyle, who was my mentor at Whopper, he really inspired me to become a composer arranger, and there was a fabulous program there, WAJO, which still exists, and you have access to the orchestra plus big band to write for, which was amazing. So my former colleagues such as Matt Jodrell and were there, and it was a fabulous thriving time to be at Whopper. And
where did music start for you? Was it when you were a real youngster at home? Was it at school? Where was it?
Yeah,
when
I was 6 years old, my parents dragged me to piano lessons, so I think that's
No choice in the matter.
Absolutely not, and I tried to get out of it so many times, and they, bless them, they pushed me forth, and I'm very thankful for it because it really 100% has helped form my composing abilities.
Was that with Emily Thompson's piano book?
I don't recall that one. It was a Yamaha method.
Okay.
So good for oral training as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, very good. So through your family, mm-hmm. was there a music within the family, as in musicians or just appreciation?
No, not at all. My dad would perhaps say he's close to tone deaf. But weirdly enough, I do have some sort of strange link. I can't even tell you what it is exactly to a composer. I'm of Croatian heritage. He's a priest who has composed some really renowned hymns that are performed at the Vatican still to this day. So that's a very tenuous link, but it's there. That's it.
And have you gone to find this music?
Not recently. I should revisit it. I've been a bit obsessed with my album. Getting it out there.
Funny about that.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm just imagining this music, but given a bit of a jazz feel, a new arrangement.
Yeah, well, I want to explore that a bit further, actually. I'm really intrigued by the whole Balkan side of things. I was having a good listen to, the Slavic Soul Party in New York. They're fantastic. So I think that's a direction I'll explore later.
When did you realise, starting at 6 years of age, going to this piano lesson that sounds like you weren't real keen on initially. When did you realise that you were going to seriously study music? Was it when you were 6 and a half?
It's interesting because, no, I always loved it and it was a big part of my life, but I was also a keen sports person as well. So I was one of those people that my poor parents were carting me around to all sorts of things after school. So I didn't decide until very late, and I thought I was going to become an architect. And then at the last minute, my mum says, you're quite a natural musician. Maybe you should be doing that. And so I auditioned and I got into Whopper, and the rest is really history, and I can't imagine not being associated with music since then.
So you auditioned as trumpet?
Yeah, yeah.
So at what point did you change from the piano to trumpet? So,
yeah, you start as a performance degree for the first 2 years, and then you switch over, you make that call after the end of second. You can either enter a composition or you can pursue the performance side of things. So
right.
Yeah.
You've mentioned Graham Lyle there as a mentor along the way. Were there others along the way as well?
Yeah, probably more from a performance perspective. The performers in Perth who are a lot on the album, such as Matt Jodrell, Carl Mackey, Sam Anning, Grant Windsor, heavily influenced me. So that, but I'd also have to say Ennio Morricone, that was the first CD that was ever given to me, Cinema Parody, so I still love that, and I cry like a baby every time I watch that film. But that was a huge influence on me, yeah.
Is there something about those people that particularly inspired or encouraged you?
Oh, it's hard to put my finger on. I just think when you witness such a high level of musicality that you can't help but be inspired and go, gosh, I want to write for those people and give them a vehicle to be their absolute best, and that's how I've hopefully gotten here.
Those people who have inspired you over the years, do you see some of them in you now?
I'd like to think so, but I think I've got a long way to go to get to that standard. They're phenomenal musicians, and I feel incredibly lucky to have had them on my album.
When you're not composing, what do you do?
Well, it's tough to make a full-time gig out of composing. So I have found myself doing some things on the side. So I've done a lot of marketing things within the music world. So I've worked for the Australian National Academy of Music and the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, and I also managed concerts back in Perth at Whopper. So I've had a very varied life, but I think it's, you know, it's been a good path for me to feel more well-rounded as a person, you know.
But all around the music scene.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
A great way to go.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
What do you reckon? That was a very exciting piece of music. It's Dance of the Zinfandels from the Vanessa Perica Orchestra, a 17-piece group of amazing Australian musicians. And the dance was, or that piece was a finalist in the 2018 Anonymous, interesting spelling, but it's interesting, Big Band International Composition Competition, judged in Buenos Aires back in 2018. So that's its claim to fame, and it is certainly exciting. Vanessa, your debut album is called Love is a Temporary Madness. It's a collection of seven of your compositions. When did you realise that it was time to put an album together to record your work?
Yeah, it's taken quite a while. I suppose, yeah, I just got to that point where I was just like, I've really got to do this. I was spurred on by my colleagues. They were like, it's time. They said, why don't you apply for Australia Council grant? So I did. First time I wasn't successful, second time I was. So thankfully with that funding, this was all possible. So from there, it's just, and after moving to Melbourne and just having these, because all of my Perth colleagues have miraculously moved here without consulting each other here, and it was just like it was perfect timing. Yeah,
and it's an album of 17 musicians, so it's not a cheap exercise to start with. Put a trio together, it's about a quarter of the cost, so it's not a cheap exercise to get up and running. But I think when you've got a big band of any description, the result from a sound perspective is just so exciting.
Yeah, you can't beat that exhilarating feeling that you get from a cranking big band. That's why I'm so drawn to it.
And it doesn't matter whether it's brand new music or In the Mood from Glenn Miller, it still hits the spot, doesn't it?
Absolutely. If it's played well and it's swinging, who cares?
What is it about the big band that does that?
I mean, it can't go past that collection of horns. And if it's, you know, really tight, it's unbeatable. But it depends who plays it. You know, for me, you've got to have the right musicians. It can be a mixed bag of what's out there.
Which leads me on, how do you choose the musicians when you have in your mind, you've got this Australian Council grant, I'm going to put an album together, I'm going to have a big band, I'm going to have 17 musos, and then the question is which ones?
Yeah, it's a tricky decision because we're so blessed with amazing musicians, but I definitely consulted the section leaders in Matt Carl and Jordan Murray as to who they possibly might like, and that helped inform me as to who I might like to book. That was a fun process, and luckily people were very willing to come on board.
Of course, the other thing is 17 people all together, well, 18 including yourself, how do you get them all together at the time?
That's a nightmare.
How much forward planning is involved?
Yes, you have to book them well in advance. But I have to say January was a great time to record because you get that lull in the sort of teaching period and everyone's sort of just getting back after holidays. So I got a little bit lucky with scheduling. But you're waiting anxiously on those emails to come back because you want that person to be able to do it.
Now, it was recorded last year in January 2019. Mm-hmm. It's being released just on the 12 months later.
Yeah.
What happens in that 12 months?
Yeah, it's a big journey, which I've just discovered, being my first time. So you go through and pick which takes that you'd like to go on the album, but that takes time because I didn't really quite want to listen to it straight away. You're a bit musicked out for the moment and you're too connected to the project, so I needed a bit of time, but not much. We got straight into action. And then my husband, Carl Mackey, who's the lead alto player, we spent hours, you know, just going, oh, that one or that one, and really hashing it out. And then also producer Grant Windsor, he had a big hand in helping choose that as well. He mixed the album, did a sterling job, and then it went to mastering. And then in the middle of that, we also had wonderful Hallie Moreau. She videoed the whole, second day of recording, so I was having back and forth with her about the editing there. She did a marvellous job. I don't know if you've seen the promo video.
I have indeed, yes. Thank you for the link.
Oh, you're welcome. So, yeah, all of those bits and bobs, and then like a photo shoot for the album cover, and which I'm very awkward in front of the camera, so good to get that all done. Yeah. So there's a lot of bits and bobs, but, you know, I'm pleased with the final result.
What inspired the album title? Because it's an interesting title. I should ask how mad you are, because love is a temporary madness.
I'm not that mad, but I will say that the title actually came to us as a bit of an afterthought. We were in the car driving back to Brunswick, and Jamie Ollis, who's on the album, he said, have you thought about titling the whole album Love is a Temporary Madness? It's a great title because one of the tunes is called that, and I said, no, that's a great idea. So, but to backtrack, you know, it's actually a very personal tune. Carl and I have been together for nearly 18 years and partners in love and music. We met at Whopper, so it's been a hell of a journey together. But after 10 years, we found ourselves suddenly apart, which was heart-wrenching for both of us, but I think we grew a lot, and we fortunately found each other again, and we are stronger than ever, and this is a celebration of that. So that line, Love is a Temporary Madness, is the first line from our wedding poem, which we finally got hitched after 14 years together.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was worth the wait. So I've really dumped Carl in it now, but yeah, so it has a lot of meaning, and I'm very proud of that tune. We think it celebrates us as a couple, so yeah.
And it's nice that you have something to celebrate with in terms of the album.
Absolutely.
You've got a number of, as I said, 7 tracks there, and there's obviously got to be stories behind each of them in some fashion. Mm. There's one called, that we listened to, Dance of the Zinfandels.
Yes.
It's a piece that is really exciting, and yet it was, and I suppose the reason it was a finalist in the competition was because it is so exciting.
Yeah, that one's a bit of a banger, I think, but band played it so well. I'm so thrilled with that one. To be honest, that was probably the one tune on the album that doesn't really have a story. It's more of it's just one that sort of wrote itself to be, yeah, sorry. But the others all will have pretty much a story.
The Speck and Napoli.
Yeah, so that's from a trip to Naples. We weren't there on our honeymoon, and that major artery is just so full of life. It's just got scooters buzzing around, people drinking Aperol Spritz in the piazza. It's just wonderful, and then Mount Vesuvius in the background. It's just, I can't wait to get back there. So it was just a bit of a tribute to that.
So as a composer, how do you go on that tour of Naples and then decide that you're going to convert it into music? How do you know what sounds represent what components?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's been maybe a year and a half since I wrote that, so I can't pinpoint that. But I will say, at one point, I was had my laptop up with the Sibelius, the program we input the score into, and at one point I pulled up YouTube videos of scooters buzzing around Spark and Apple and had that on silent, and I was looking at that whilst trying to conceive new parts, which is not something I typically do, but you know, when you get stuck, you kind of think, oh, I'll try elsewhere.
Try something else.
Yeah, so it's not the same formula for any tune, really, for me, where the inspiration comes from. Yeah.
So do some tunes, circumstances just suggest to you, it's got to be this sound.
Absolutely.
And you hear it in your mind straight away.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, I've just finished writing something called What a Time to Be Alive, and that's definitely spurred on by the bushfires and our political state at the moment. I'm just, you know, you only have to turn on the ABC News every morning to get inspiration from that, and it's a bit dark at the moment.
You've got a piece called Saint Lazare.
So that one, Saint Lazare is a Paris metro station, and I couldn't believe it. Well, the amount of Syrian refugees who were just pleading for help there, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they were holding up their passports just, you know, with signs and lots with little babies. It was just, yeah, so that one's quite personal to me.
It's a bit of a different feel, that one.
Yeah.
Mm. We're going to have a listen to that one probably next week, I reckon, because we're going to hear Spack and Napoli very shortly. And you've got one called Scar for Charlie.
Scar for Charlie, yeah. Charlie was our little rescue Bengal kitten that we found out the back of a shop my sister was working at, and he used to take showers with us. He was the most bright, spunky little kitten. One morning we were like, where's he gone? And we couldn't find him. We're like, oh, he's becoming a teenager. Came back later and I looked over the fence and he'd been taken out by the Rottweilers next door, unfortunately. No. So that really, it's a very passionate... that one. And so the scar is, he left scars behind on our older cat Cleo, so that's hence Scar for Charlie.
Right. Yeah. When you've got something that's such a personal, and even the title track, when you've got something that is so personal and has such an emotive aspect to it, is that something that's harder or easier to compose to?
I find it so much easier, yeah. A passionate story to tell is just, yeah, it seems to come out of me a lot easier.
The strong emotions.
Yeah. Say, for instance, Woody's Lament, that one's dedicated to our friend Graham Wood, who passed away of cancer a couple of years ago. And so that one came out a lot easier because of that story to tell. It's his personality comes through in that one for me, yeah.
You have a website?
Yes, VanessaPerica.com.
And all the information we need is there, including a link to the album.
Indeed.
And I think the link goes off then to Bandcamp. So as a listener, we have the opportunity to purchase and support local talent, local Australian talent, which is also important. Are you having a launch tour of the country?
Oh, I'll have to get some more funding for that. But there will be a launch in Melbourne at some point my website, and it'll be announced at some point. But I'm working on it, yeah.
When it occurs, let us know in plenty of time. We might get you back and have a quick chat.
Oh, fabulous. That would be lovely.
Vanessa, thank you so much for popping into the studio here at Bent Notes tonight and having a chat with us. We'd like to have a listen to this piece reminiscent of Naples called Spack and Napoli.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.